Hi, everybody. My name is JP. I'm an ACA alcoholic of... I'm an alcoholic. I'm an adult child of alcoholics. And I'm also a Mennonite. Sorry, it just took me a little bit away, the story. Yeah, first of all, I want to thank you all for the opportunity and for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here, and I know it's a lot of effort, so I want to give a special thank you to all the volunteers and this is on? No, this is not on. It's okay, I speak up. So, yeah, thank you for everybody to make this happen here. It's really a great event, and I'm enjoying myself and also my family here in this beautiful little town. And I would like to ask you to join me in a moment of silence for all who are still looking for a solution before I start. Thank you. I prepared a little speech, and I will split it into two parts. I will start with my story, briefly, so most of you don't know me, I also don't know most of you, so you get a little insight. And then I will share my discoveries or miracles that happened in the last 20 years of my path of recovery. I would like to read shortly to you what I found on the definition of miracles. So I found three quotes that I liked, so I want to share them with you. Two from Wikipedia and one from the Cambridge Dictionary. So one says, "A miracle is an event not explicable by nature or natural or scientific laws." The second one is, "Any beneficial event that is statistically unlikely." Yeah, I like that one. There's a nicer one, which is from the Cambridge Dictionary. "Something which man is not normally," and I guess it's a traditional, but "something which man and woman is not normally capable of making happen, and which is therefore thought to be done by God." So, yeah, I will start my story, and I'm enjoying very much your company, and I have been in some meetings, not in all of them, but I enjoyed very much the openness and that many of you are double, triple winners. So I will disclose here also a little bit more, and I believe very strongly that this program is working for me because of the honesty in the rooms, the safe environment we have. And so I'm not only an alcoholic, I'm also an addict. I'm a drug addict. I'm a workaholic. I'm a codependent. I'm a rageaholic. I'm a sexaholic, and I'm a SA anon. And so my story started the moment I have been conceived in 1979. My mother was 17 years old. And my father was married to another woman. I could stop there, and the rest you can imagine. So there was a lot of discussions about abortion, not abortion. there was my father had to get divorced first before marrying my mother, you know. And my grandfather, my both grandfathers, they both survived the war, but one was in a concentration camp and the other one was in Russia. So there was a lot of contradiction. So one grandfather was Jewish, the other one was not, was German or whatever you want to call it, origin. And so different religions, but I was on the way and they decided to have me. That's why I'm here today. That's thanks to my grandmother who said there's no abortion in my family. So we moved to Spain. I'm born in Austria, Vienna, but we moved to Spain. I grew up in Spain, in Malaga. Some neighbors here, I see. So my parents got divorced when I was 1 year, so it did not last for that long. I had several stepfathers. These days I have four siblings, half siblings. My mother got married another time, but had four more children. And my father also had, I have a stepbrother I've never met. He's probably somewhere here in Germany. We never met, never wanted to have contact with my father. And I have, I never wanted to do what my parents did. But at a very young age, I started to do the same. So with 11 years, I started to consume like my parents did. So there, it was like predetermined my life, yeah. So I was in south of Spain, more or less living with hippies, and there was not. It was very statistically unlikely that I end up here today. But here I am. It was tricky to get out of there, but somehow, I have to give also the thanks to my father, you know, because although I've never seen him in my first 10 years or very little, he one day stopped drinking, yeah, and that's because of AA. And then he also recommended to me, I think it would also be good for you. I was young, I was 19, so they were handing me over from one meeting to the next one. So they said, "No, you know not AA, you go to Al-Anon." And then at Al-Anon, they said, "No, you're not Al-Anon, you go to Adult Children of Alcoholics, you know." So today I felt not accepted, you know. I mean, that was it was a little cold, you know. The Viennese people are not that welcoming, you know. It's not like so. I felt again rejection, you know. But somehow I made it, and I was always a little stubborn and persistent, so I made it to all possible meetings there. So I also discovered CODA and Codependence Anonymous. I found Workaholics Anonymous. I found all these other groups, and I'm really grateful because for me, it is not only. I mean, for me, it's one addiction. You know, it's one disease. It's not that I cannot say, oh, this is an alcoholic problem, and oh no, this is something else. It's sugar. I cannot lie to myself anymore. For me, it's all one. I have a problem. I have a disease, and I sometimes have this picture, you know, it's like this chain at the bicycle, you know, and there are different links, you know, and if the chain is working, I can pedal, you know, and I go forward and recovery is nice and not always, it goes up, it goes down, you know, like life is supposed to do, which I don't like always to accept, but sometimes it goes up, you know, it's a little painful, it hurts, you know, and... And but if I'm not connected, you know, and this connection for me, the chain is in a good shape, you know, I'm connected with my higher power. But whenever I'm not, you know, one link opens, and that can be, I don't know, work, you know, or, yeah, stay longer, prove yourself to your employer, you know, or watch television, or sugar, you know. And earlier it was drugs and alcohol, yeah, or masturbation and pornography. And so for me, it's all together, yeah. And there is also these two parts in me, you know. I can also not divert them. I mean, I cannot separate them. Yeah. Sometimes I'm the victim. I like to be the victim. Yeah. That's why I go to Al-Anon, and that's why I feel at home, at, because you know it's their fault. You know, and poor me. You know. Yeah, but then, you know, comes this guy, you know, and says, and now I'm going to hit the wall, you know, and crash the table, you know, and act out in some way, in anger, lust, whatever. You know, so there's this predator and there's this victim, and they belong together, you know, and it's the same disease. That's one of my conclusions or my findings. For me, it's like this. I know there might be many who see it differently, but I cannot deny anymore, and I cannot lie to myself. So this honesty for me is very important, and this environment that we have here, these protected rooms, this spiritual principle of anonymity, you know, it gives me so much comfort, you know, that I did not experience at home, that I did not learn. You know, I'm learning still. I'm like a child, you know, emotionally I'm like a child. I don't understand so many things, you know. I'm the last one that understands something in relationship things, you know. I'm like a greenhorn or whatever you want to call it. So I don't really understand what's going on. I'm the last one that understands. They're together now, you know. They're a couple. I said, I saw just like talking, you know, to each other. And yeah, that's me. I'm learning a lot, and maybe it's a good moment to go already into communication. So I was stuttering as a child. Nobody knew because I didn't talk. Yeah, not even my mother. I just shut up. I didn't say anything. You know, I was more like the one that just takes in, breaks or acts out at some point, you know. But most of the time against myself. Yeah, I didn't hit anybody or didn't pick up a fight, you know. But I tried to kill myself when I was 11 years old, yeah, and unsuccessfully, as you can see. And with 18, I had another. Just got the driving license, and the first thing is I got drunk. I got it, not only the driving license. I got the truck license because I thought I need to overachieve like many of us. So I still have it. So if you need it, right, just let me know. But the thing is that I had it, and in the first month, I drove drunk. You know, so I would have lost all the driving license immediately again. You know, but that's what I did. And I wanted to commit against suicide, you know, because my mother brought this topic up again, you know, because I was just telling myself, we had a new German teacher, and I she wanted to get to know us, you know, and I wrote my story. They said, tell me your story, you know, and I wrote her story. That was before I was in the program, so I broke some anonymities. However, my mother, I was so proud. I was never good in languages. I was not good in talking, not good in writing. And then she said, what is this? You know, you're bringing shame to our family. And I said, what? The teacher liked it very much, you know. You know. And then she said, should I have aborted you? You know. And I was like, what? You know. I just went and took the car and went to the forest, and I was just about, you know, to you know, just go down the next curve, you know, not take the curve. So this was a kind of hit button because I didn't have a home. I mean, I had a home, you know, my mother took always care, you know, there was always somehow food and there was always somehow things, you know, but emotionally, you know, I identify very much with Waisenkinder, orphans. Thank you. Yeah, I feel exactly. I mean, I really felt at some point I thought that my parents are not my parents, that my mother is not my mother, you know, that she adopted me. But however, I nevertheless, you know, my mother also gave me a very good advice, you know, like my father. So somehow they went on a spiritual, they were also spiritual. I mean, they were hippies, so in a way they were looking for something. Mm-hmm. And my mother just at some point, she told me, you know, everything has a purpose, you know. And that stick to me, you know, everything has a purpose. So I said, okay, good. So if this has a purpose, you know, what is the purpose? You know, because I don't understand that, you know, this is just a lot of pain, you know, and I don't want to have that, you know. But however, I was small and little by little I understood, and I also read these books of these psychotherapists and things like this. I was very interested. I never read a book. I didn't like whatever Christine Nöstlinger and whatever, all their Pippi Langstrumpf. I never liked all these stories, you know. I was just interested. I was thirsty for spirituality. I wanted to understand why, you know, why? Just tell me, yeah. And I found something that for me, you know, I didn't expect, you know, but I found that that at some point, you know, maybe at least I assumed, you know, I just get a leap of faith, you know, I put there that at some point this will make sense. Maybe I don't understand right now. I cannot even say what will happen in the next hour. But at some point, you know, this will make all sense, and maybe it helps someone. Yeah. And what happened is that I found service, you know, and people talking about service in our rooms. And I didn't really understand, you know, because you do something for somebody else and what do you get out of it, you know? So, but nevertheless, I trusted and I saw that this is really like a miracle, you know? I stop thinking about myself, you know? I'm thinking about somebody else's, whatever, recovery or life, yeah? And this was like a game changer, because I found the meaning in my life, I found the purpose. I suddenly could tell other people what I have experienced, and they feel good about it, because they don't feel alone anymore, and I feel good because they understand me, what I'm talking about. It was not always like that. Earlier, I didn't know whom to talk. Like I told you, I told my German teacher my story. She didn't. I mean, she liked the story because probably it's interesting to read, you know. But she didn't understand the problem actually I'm facing. You know, if not, she would have told me, "Come with me," you know, and not read it in front of the class. But however, yeah. But she didn't understand, but I also didn't understand, and later I understood, okay, I need to talk to people who understand me, like you guys. Yeah. So, mission, you know, for me it became a mission, you know, I was also playing drums, I was in a rock band, and a lot of smoking, drinking, but I was writing with my bad English. My English was very bad, still bad, but I'm you know, I was writing something like, you know, this is like one level. This world, this nice place here, it's a level. You know, I used to play also. I was also gaming a lot, you know, with this Nintendo, Game Boy and stuff. Yeah, but maybe you recall Super Mario Bros. Yeah. So there's one level, you know, this is just one level here, you know. It's a very difficult one, yeah. But it's an advanced stage. But I need to pass it, you know. And I just believe once more, you know, that it has a purpose, you know, and I'm learning something out of it. So I keep trying, and until the mission is completed, yeah, and this gives me something that, it gives me purpose and gives me joy and happiness, something that probably another very unlikely thing to happen is that I find joy, yeah, and purpose. So today I can see that I can share my experience, you know, and it fulfills this hole inside, yeah, because this hole inside I cannot fill it with purpose and with all these other things that I could consume, but giving service, it feel okay. I have no craving. I don't need to watch television. I don't need to whatever, drink Coca-Cola. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm really fine, and that's really a miracle for me that it's so simple, just to have different kind of thoughts. Yeah, because all my thoughts become an action at some point. This is one of my discoveries too. So I have to change my thinking. Actually, I have a thinking problem. I really have a thinking problem. I don't have a drinking or whatever consuming problem. I have a thinking problem because I think I'm not complete. So I need to take something and do something to feel complete. And it's a lie. It's a lie that I tell myself and I like to believe. But the truth is that I need to learn new thinking patterns. And one of them is gratitude. And it's so difficult. And when I started with my sponsor to write gratitude lists, you know, it was so difficult because I couldn't think more than one, two things. You know, it's not natural, you know, for my mind to give me things, you know, to display thoughts that I'm grateful for. So I'm practicing this, you know, every day with friends in the program, you know, in the morning, you know, to start my day. I need to start my day, you know, surrendering and with gratitude, yeah, because this changes the quality of my whole day. This is another game changer, yeah. It's really amazing how different my day is if I start thinking, you know, of what I'm grateful of. And then there's also some science about it. So I apparently you need to repeat things 27 times until it becomes a habit. I'm an addict, and I'm obviously sick, you know, I have this family disease, so I probably need to do it more often. And I guess that's why they say 90 days, 90 meetings, 90, and things like that. In some programs they say 360 days, 360 meetings, and I don't know, I think I have to do it a life sentence long, because, I forget that gratitude helps me. And sets me free, yeah. And most of the time I'm grateful for things that just, you know, I would have never mentioned, you know, like I have a safe place today, you know, and maybe it's a good moment to come to the statistically unlikely things that happened, you know. I'm married longer today, you know, and I mean, I hope I stay. I mean, it was not a difficult record to break, you know, but I'm married longer than my two parents in four marriages together. Yeah, so. I mean, that was already the most exciting miracle. Yeah, I finished school. I was not meant to finish school. I have been in 7 schools in 13 years. But somehow I made it. You know, I have still I was at the German school, so I still have it written on one of my notes that my grades and said that I'm not stuff for something higher, you know. But so very unlikely, I studied. I finished my studies. It took me a long time, but I finished my studies. Very unlikely. My parents did not study. That was the overachiever in me, but however, I finished my studies. And something very unlikely, but it's a safe environment, so I'm going to share this. Although it's being recorded, but nevertheless. So that I become a drug dealer in south of Spain was very likely, you know, because this is what I saw, this is how I grew up, this is what I knew how to do, you know. I knew you go over the sea, you know, and you bring things back and you sell. I mean, it's easy, you know. So I would have done, I think, a career until a certain extent, but today, you know, I'm working in an international organization and I'm sitting in meeting rooms with ministers and ambassadors, you know, and sometimes I ask myself, what the hell are you doing here? Yeah. So it's very unlikely that a boy from south of Spain from a hippie village, you know, ends up in Vienna talking to... Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I just wonder. And, I mean, another more internal miracle is that, you know, to overcome this inner resistance. So for me, this inner resistance is somehow the biggest challenge, yeah, because there's always resistance. I don't want to change, you know, I don't want to keep changing. And just, you know, some years ago, I came first to, as I told you, Al-Anon, AA, CODA, yeah, great, you know, but then when I suddenly saw I also have a lust problem, you know, I was like, no, come on, you know, again, you know, start from, and they even have a step zero, so I started with step zero again, you know, and now 2 years ago, I mean, I was trying to push it aside. I didn't want to look into this anger stuff, you know, but there's a group too. I mean, thanks to the 12 steps to Bill and Bob, you know, and we have programs for everything. So now there's a Rageaholics Anonymous group. I mean, they don't really have yet many meetings, but they have a program, you know, and they know about this body serene, you know, and body's emotional serenity. And I have to say that's another challenge because that's where I stand today. And I learned also some other things about communication, yeah, and that's very closely related to anger. Yeah, it's that I need to learn, you know, to express, you know, what I'm thinking. So my wife cannot read my thoughts, you know. I thought she could, yeah, but she can't. So I need to articulate things that are inside here, you know, put them in words and tell her so she can know, yeah. So if I don't, she doesn't, yeah. So it's something very simple, actually, yeah. But for me, not, you know, because I don't want to make this effort, you know. And then they tell me also, like, yeah, there is this kind of communication, like, you know, we do imago and nonviolent communication. I don't know, but it, I'll talk later about it. But this is really a big help. So it's that also the words I'm using, you know, and also with the kids. So I'm learning a lot how to talk, actually, you know, how to say it, just to talk. Like in the program, I talk about myself. I'm not talking about what you are doing wrong. I tell them, you know, what I feel, you know, I feel excluded, full stop. Not because you didn't call me and you didn't tell me. No, I feel excluded. This is how I feel, you know. That's how I feel. That's it, you know. Or I say, just sometimes I also try to guess the feelings, you know, of another person that cannot express it. You say, are you hungry, you know, or do you want to join, you know, or do you want to join this game, you know, and things like that. So things that naturally would not come out of my mouth. So I keep learning all these things and come out of the victim role, you know, and do the first step in that sense that I try to guess the other person needs or feelings, you know, but also at the same time make sure that the others around me that are close to me also know what I what are my needs? Yeah, that doesn't mean, you know, I was very confused about that. In my family of origin is that if you express a need, you know, it brings everybody in trouble because everybody thinks they have now to fulfill this need, you know? And now they come and tell me, they don't have to fulfill the need. You just need to express it, and that's it. If they want to fulfill it, that's their choice, you know? But you express it, so you give them a chance to have a choice. Do we fulfill this need or do we don't, you know? But if I don't say anything, then how shall they know, you know? And then I'm like, they never take care of me, you know? they always neglect me, you know? And so, yeah. So these are the things I'm learning. I mean, I'm at the same stage like my kids, you know, so they're also learning all these things. I identify very much with them. Yeah. I don't know, I didn't look at the time. Okay. At the bottom. You have some? Okay. Thank you. Yeah, so maybe, yeah, to go a little bit deeper is that every time I feel disconnected these days, you know, there's a fear underneath, you know, there's a fear that something is not being met, yeah. And this is something that that is very, how to say, very deep in my patterns, you know, because I have this inferiority complexes, you know, I'm not good enough, you know, I should do better, you know, I should know better. Or I don't deserve, you know, and this actually triggers, you know, my actions, you know. If I have this little child, you know, telling me I'm afraid, you know, I don't want to do this, you know, then and I don't filter that, you know, I do what this little child is telling me, you know, and if I filter it, you know, and say yes, I know you're afraid. Yes, I remember. 30 years ago, it was a bad experience, but let's try it once more, you know? Because sometimes I overreact to certain situations because I remember 30 years ago, it was a bad experience, you know? And then, what does it matter if my son throws down, you know, a spoon of soup, you know? I mean, of course it gets dirty, you know? But the feeling I have, you know, I build up a structure of safety for me, you know? Everything had to be in order, structure, you know? You know? And in that was necessary also for me, you know, to survive, you know? But at some point, you know, I couldn't live with that anymore. The structure was too small, you know, the family was growing and I cannot have everything clean anymore, you know. So I needed to learn those things and also to accept this little JP, you know, which is uncomfortable, you know, and that it's okay that he is uncomfortable, yeah. And that was a kind of a realization that spiritual awakening, that I don't need to act on what my little JP is telling me, you know. I understand, give him understanding, not deny it, you know, because that I also did, you know, to deny completely, no feelings, no nothing, you know. But now it's like sober and in different programs, it's like, okay, he keeps sending things sometimes, you know, but I don't need to take it one-to-one, you know, I just need to acknowledge it. And rewrite history, yeah. And yeah. So this program is a program of action. It is. It takes a lot of energy. Sometimes I was wondering why I'm so tired, you know, because I'm tired, you know, I cannot explain. It's not that I was hiking the whole day, but it's just what is happening inside here, you know, this changing in my heart, this change of heart, you know, all the time, you know, trying to improve, you know, which is good. Sometimes I also need to relax. I do also a lot of meditation to not you know, get crazy about changing myself and self-recovery and all these things, you know, because I tend to have, I don't know, 10 service positions and work on myself and do, I don't know, step work in 3 different programs at the same time. So, yeah, but the thing is that, you know, I need to do something, you know. These days I try to regulate more, you know, to really double check. You know, I don't take a new activity without double checking also at home. You know, I also try to check my resources, not to do too much, but sufficient, and that's very important for me. So in November next month it will be 20 years fellowship. I mean sobriety dates I have many, as you can imagine, because of the different. So it keeps, the good thing is that it, you know, there's always progress. Yeah, it's not perfection, it's progress, as you all know, and it's just one step, you know, just for today, one thing, you know, and little by little it keeps working out, you know, and things happen, you know, miracles happen. I didn't choose to marry an Iranian Muslim woman, you know. I mean, it was very unlikely, you know, that I get married with an Iranian. So because I had already enough different origins of different religions, so I also feel very comfortable here in these rooms, because this is a spiritual program. Yeah, I could not go to a religious program, you know, because they would kick me out probably, you know, or I would not feel at home, you know, because I need something inclusive. Yeah, I need inclusion. I need comfort. I need to feel okay, and sometimes I also don't do in their own meetings, because they tell me, you are not an AA, you are an NA, you know, or they tell me whatever, you know. But yeah, I mean, now with the age I also feel more comfortable, you know, that's me, that's my story. Yeah, you may like it or you don't, yeah, but this is who I am, and this is how the disease, you know, affected me, thank you, or worked on me, and that's how I try day by day to deal with it. Yeah, it's the daily reprieve we get, and that's it. Yeah, and I'm grateful for that. Yeah, I don't need to solve all my problems today. I just need to do the next right indicated action. And with that, maybe I close, and I want to say really thank you to all of you. And for all your efforts and for your shares as well, and the service all you did to make this happen. I mean, that's really, really great. And I want to say again, I mean, maybe I close with one thing, you know, because I just saw Michael again looking at you, but no, a very dear friend. That's why I started crying at the beginning. Is that he committed suicide in June, you know, and we had a close relationship, you know, and he knew the steps, he knew so many things, but he has an 11 or 12 year old daughter now, and it took me, you know, and I dreamt of him also last week, you know, and we were talking about why he committed suicide, you know, in the dream, and I was angry at him, you know, that he gave up, you know, and we talked about, I mean, we had this relationship, yeah, we could talk about things, but he didn't make it, yeah, and I also saw my life, yeah, it could have been me also, you know, and I have also other friends in Spain that they did not make it, you know, and you know how it is there are not many options. It's either you go into gastronomy or drugs or both, you know, and that's it. Yeah? Or you move out, or you move away. Yeah? Most of us, yeah. But it was tough on me, you know. And I also saw that it could have been me, you know. He was like me. He told me, you drink too much. We were 6 weeks in Mexico, and he told me, you drink too much. And I was really pissed, you know. Said, how come you tell me what to do? And that's what it was, one of the reasons why I started to go, you know. And now he didn't make it, yeah. But that's how it is. So it's my choice, yeah. It's with me. If I want to do this program, yeah, because it is about life and death, yeah. Even if we say yes, we were depressed, or yes, I was whatever, you know. At the end, you know, it's the addiction. That's my conclusion. You don't need to share this with me, but that's my conclusion. At the bottom is an addiction. Yeah, and But there's a solution. That's the good news. Yeah, that's the really good news. There is a solution, but it's my choice. Yeah, it's my choice. I cannot do it for anybody, and I just hope and pray, you know, that more and more find this wonderful program, yeah, because it does miracles. Yeah, it really does miracles. Like in some programs, you know, they say to everybody, "You're a miracle. You're a miracle. You all are. You know, because you are here today. You know, you could do other things." So maybe we close with a moment of silence for, like we started, for everybody that's still looking and did not find us yet. Thank you.